Hello and happy day. This is Dr. Marianne DiIorio, your virtual life coach, welcoming you to Winning with the Word. Today we're going to be exploring a very exciting topic. It's one that, when you grasp it, will literally change your life. We're going to be talking about the truth that you are what you think you are. The Bible, God's Manual for Living, talks quite a bit about our thinking. For example, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 7, we read, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." What does this mean? Simply put, it means that your thoughts determine the quality of your life. For example, if you think that you're a failure, you will fail. If you think that you're a success, you will succeed. In other words, you will act according to what you think or believe about yourself. Have you ever wondered why success seems to follow some people while failure seems to follow others? Perhaps you thought it was a function of luck or heredity. The truth is that successful people choose to succeed while people who fail choose to fail. Now, before you turn off this podcast, do yourself a favor and explore this concept with me. Your mind is like a computer. In fact, it is the epitome of computers, far more sophisticated and powerful than any man-made computer on Earth. Like a computer, your mind is programmed with information. And like a computer, what goes into your mind is what will come out of it. If negative thoughts or programs were put into your mind when you were a child, your present life very likely reflects the effects of those negative programs. Let's suppose, for instance, that you were repeatedly told as a child that you were clumsy. That program was etched into your brain, and to this day, you may find yourself dropping things, tripping over things, and acting clumsily. No matter how hard you may try to be poised, you end up being clumsy. In fact, you're probably still telling yourself that you're clumsy. Why does it seem as though you can't stop being clumsy? Because your brain, your internal computer, is simply obeying the command that was given to it when you were a child. That command was, you are clumsy. Unless you change the command, you will continue to be clumsy. Or worse yet, you may have been told repeatedly that you would never amount to anything. That program etched itself into your brain and is now replaying itself into your life. Recent scientific research on the brain reveals actual physical pathways that are carved into the brain tissue by the words that are said to us or that we say to ourselves. As children, we're very impressionable and highly susceptible to the influence of others. In fact, young children, as a rule, believe everything that their parents, teachers, or other influential adults tell them. Children have not yet developed the ability to distinguish between truth and error. They innocently accept whatever is told them. If you repeatedly tell a child that he is stupid, he will eventually believe you. If you repeatedly tell a child that she is brilliant, she will also eventually believe you. Why? Because of a spiritual principle that God set in motion. That principle or law is found in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This verse tells us that faith comes by hearing. In other words, faith or belief in anything comes from hearing that thing over and over and over. So whatever you heard over and over while you were growing up, you most likely came to believe. And what you believe affects your daily life. You might be thinking, great, am I doomed to a life of failure? The answer, happily, is absolutely not. Why? Because you can reprogram your brain for success. You can override the old failure commands that were given to you as a child, and you can give your mental computer new commands geared for success. It's important, first of all, to understand that information is programmed into your brain through your five senses, especially through seeing and hearing. For this reason, it's very, very important that you screen what you watch and what you listen to. The Bible calls this guarding your heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23 tells us to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. This means that what you put into your heart will affect the outcome of your life. In other words, if you repeatedly watch programs that devalue life, you will begin to devalue life. If you repeatedly listen to music that promotes sexual promiscuity, you will eventually begin to condone and possibly even participate in sexual promiscuity. Another very important way in which information is programmed into your brain or mental computer is through your tongue. Your tongue is like the keyboard on your computer. Just as you input information into a computer by typing on your keyboard, so do you input information into your mental computer by the words you speak to yourself. If you keep telling yourself that you can never remember names, guess what? You won't be able to remember names. On the other hand, if you continually tell yourself that you have a great memory and easily remember names, guess what again? You will easily remember names. If you don't believe me, try it. I find this exercise especially helpful when a thought slips my mind. Instead of saying, "I forgot what I wanted to tell you," I say, "It will come to me." And surely enough, it always comes to me. I always remember what it was I was going to say. So you see, the tongue is very critical in programming your mental computer. For this reason, it's important that your tongue speak only the truth about yourself and about others. For what you say to others affects their mental programming as well. This is especially important if you are a parent or a teacher or someone who deals with children. Well, what is the truth about yourself? It's what the Bible, God's manual for man, says about you. Most of us were told things about ourselves that were simply not true. Usually these untruths, or misbeliefs as I like to call them, were spoken to us by well-meaning parents, relatives, and teachers. Regardless of the good intentions of those who spoke the words, however, they were still not true, and consequently, they have affected our lives adversely. Let's look at some of these misbeliefs, and then we'll look at what God's Word has to say about them. Finally, we'll discuss how to replace your old programs or misbeliefs with the new programs or truths found in God's Word. Misbelief number one, nobody really loves me because I am unlovable. Your old programming may have caused you to believe that nobody loves you, that in fact you are unlovable. As a child, you may have been told that you were bad and that because you were bad, nobody would ever love you. Well, I'm here to tell you that that old programming is a lie, because anything that does not agree with what God says about you is a lie. What does God say about you? In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, God says this about you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. This means that God loves you with a love that will never end, a love that nothing can ever change. It means that He loves you with a love that does not depend on how you behave, on whether you're good or bad. He loves you simply because you are you. So when your old mental program tries to tell you that nobody loves you, change the program. Replace it with the truth of God's Word. How is this done? You may be surprised to learn that it's done with your tongue. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. In other words, you can use your tongue to bring life to yourself and to others, or you can use your tongue to bring death. All of us have been hurt by someone else's sharp and biting tongue. Even more sadly, perhaps all of us at one time or another have used our own tongues to hurt others. So we all have experienced the hurtful power of the tongue. But the tongue can also be used to help and to heal. Since the tongue is the keyboard to your mental computer, you can use your tongue to reprogram your brain with the truth about yourself. For example, if you have believed the lie that you are unlovable, start saying to yourself that God loves you with an everlasting love. Say it over and over and over again until you begin to believe it. As I said earlier, faith in anything comes from hearing it over and over and over again. Misbelief number two, my situation is hopeless. You may find yourself right now in a situation from which there seems to be no way out. It looks impossible. Consequently, you feel depressed. But what does the Bible say? It says that God will fill you with hope by the power of His Holy Spirit as you trust in Him. Romans 15, verse 13. If you're feeling hopeless, take this truth from God's Word and begin speaking it out loud. Start telling yourself that God gives you hope and that He will turn your situation around as you trust Him to do so. Misbelief number three, I am alone. This prevalent misbelief has done more to keep people from fulfilling God's call on their lives than perhaps most any other misbelief. The Bible says that you are never alone. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Forsake means to abandon. Jesus has promised never to abandon you. Maybe your husband or wife has abandoned you. Maybe your father or your mother abandoned you. As a result, you may fear that God too will abandon you. But he has promised that he never will, and you can count on him because he does not lie. Psalm 27 verse 10 says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." There's a big difference between being lonely and being alone. Although you may at times feel lonely, you are never alone. Jesus Christ is always with you, eager to come into your life and fill the emptiness. Misbelief number 4. I will never have enough money to get out of debt. Debt is perhaps the most pervasive problem in our society. It is the number one cause of divorce and of the breakup of families. Just because you are now in debt over your head does not mean that things cannot change. But the only way they can change is if you turn your life over to Jesus Christ and allow him to help get you out of debt. You see, God's system of finances is totally opposite from the world's system. As long as you operate according to the world system, you will remain in bondage. But when you surrender your life to Christ and choose to come under his system, then your financial situation and every other situation in your life will turn around. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 19, the Apostle Paul writes, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." If you trust God, you will never suffer lack. You will always have what you need. That is his promise to you. Do your part by trusting God, and he will do the rest. He is our good shepherd. Psalm 23 tells us that because he is our good shepherd, we shall not lack what we need. Misbelief number 5. My life has no purpose or meaning. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, God speaks the following words to you. "My plans for you are for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." This verse tells us that God has a plan for your life and that that plan is for your good. It is a plan to give you a future filled with hope. Jesus calls it the abundant life. In John 10, verse 10, he says, "I have come to give you life and life more abundantly." There is only one source of true life, and that source is Jesus Christ. It is through him that we are reconnected to the life of God the Father. When we know Jesus Christ, we begin to think like him. And when we begin to think like him, we begin to see ourselves as he sees us. When we begin to see ourselves as he sees us, we then begin to recognize our misbeliefs and we can get rid of them. We can replace them with the truth of God's word. You are what you think you are. Learn to think about yourself what God thinks about you. Then you will become what God has planned for you to become. The starting point for all right thinking is Jesus Christ. If you have not accepted him as your personal Savior and Lord, I invite you to do so now. You see, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. So come to him now. Just repeat this simple prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I admit that I am a sinner in need of your mercy and grace. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died for me, and that you rose again on the third day. I invite you now to come into my life. I receive you as my personal Savior and as the Lord of my life. Make of me all that you created me to be. Amen. If you sincerely prayed this prayer, you are now a born-again Christ follower. I invite you to email me, Dr. Marianne DiOrio, at drmarianne@marianndiorio.com. I would like to send you a little booklet that will help get you started in your walk with Christ. I invite you also to visit my website at marianndiorio.com. And if you don't attend a church, ask Holy Spirit to lead you to the church of his choice for you, where you can be fed on the full gospel and where you can use the gifts that God has given you to bless others. Until next time, remember that God loves you just as you are and where you are, and that he will help you to keep on winning with the word.